The Mac Observer's Mac Geek Gab, number 37, for the week of January 30th, 2006.
Greetings, folks, and welcome to the Mac Observer's Mac Geek Gab. I'm Dave Hamilton, of course. I did that just for you, you know, John.
Wow. Boy, that was off the chart.
Off man. The charts. Why I oughta.
Yeah. So, yeah, Dave Hamilton, I'm John Braun, and we have a surprise, but we'll keep that a surprise.
We'll keep that a surprise for now. I mean, it's not really a surprise. We talked about it during the last show, but, you know, that's okay.
Okay. What's the surprise?
Yeah. So, how was your weekend? Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
That's good, because otherwise I'd be doing this alone. Well, kind of. Maybe not.
Nah, uneventful weekend.
Uneventful. There you go. Well, I guess that's not so bad. So, hey, there's something very special about this podcast, you know. Something we've never done before. And it has to do with us on this end here. Me. You know what that is, John?
End? Which end? Your end, not
on my
end.
End. Yeah.
There's nothing. No, there's nothing.
This is being recorded from atop the TMO Towers East. This is the first what? Podcast that I've done from the new studio, you know.
Get out.
Yeah. So we had a bunch of names come in for it. People sent in a whole bunch of stuff that we'll talk about later. But my favorite so far was something from Corey Cooper. He gave a big long list, and my favorite on the list was The Audio Attic. I like that.
So. Mm-hmm.
It's something, right? Okay, so like tonight, and I'm sorry, I got a weird mic setup up here. It's not perfect, so you might hear me scratching on the desk and that sort of thing. Because I'm sitting for other reasons.
You're sitting?
I'm sitting tonight. I'm crawling out of my chair, actually. I don't know that I can do this while I'm sitting. But I'm going to try it. So if I'm a little extra hyper and fidgety tonight, that's why.
I don't know if I can handle that.
Well, I don't know if I can handle that. Mm-hmm. So this is going to be our topic of the show tonight is going to be a couple of applications that we kind of wanted to talk about in depth. One of them will be iPhoto and that will sort of spill out into iLife 06 in general. And then I want to talk about a new app that I've been using for the last week called Yojimbo, and I just can't get enough of it. So that's that.
Yojimbo.
Yeah. And then of course we've got audio comments and listener feedback and all kinds of other stuff to fill the time. And we appreciate you spending your time with us. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. Well, let's start with iLife 06. Do you want to tell them the surprise, John, or should I?
The surprise is on Dave's end.
The surprise is on my end.
It's part of the surprise.
You going to tell them? All right, so we have brought in a special guest because, of course, I can't talk intelligently about iPhoto and iLife because I don't use it. My wife Lisa does, and so Lisa has been kind enough to join us. Really, I had to twist her arm and only had to bind one of her feet to do it, but hi, Lisa.
Hello.
And welcome to the Mac Observer's Mac Geek Gab.
Well, thank you. It's an honor to be here.
As well it should be.
Well, being that I've always been that wannabe geek, you know, this is, you know, pretty special.
I should think so. All right, so...
Did you get the deluxe setup over there, Lisa?
I did. I got this nice drum throne and my own microphone, and I'm all set.
I brought up the cozy drum throne. I could have sat you on that one over there.
Like the comfy chair.
It is like the comfy chair.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, are you guys going to talk about iPhoto, or am I just going to sit here and look like a schmuck?
John,
we
what do you think?
I can't see you.
You can't see me, and you talk to me all week.
You can't see me, so you can't talk to me, but you can talk to Dave and not see him?
Something like that. So, right. Initially, the one thing I don't like, okay, I'm going to just open this up with a bang.
Wow.
So, in the prior iPhoto, I liked using Homepage. You know where I'm going with this, Lisa? So, you could take your photos, take them, publish them to Homepage. Now, in the new iPhoto, there's a way to do pretty much the same thing, in addition to photocasting, which is cool, but that's another topic. But if you want to put it on a page, now it lets you do it through iWeb. Here's the bad news. the iWeb location is not the same as your old homepage location.
Really?
Which, yeah. Oh. Now, does that suck or what? Now, there is a help page that very nicely says to you, if you're going to use the new iPhoto with iWeb, then your stuff goes here, which is a different URL. Because when it said, because what I did is I was an iPhoto and I selected an album thinking, okay, I want to see what's going to happen. It said, uploading album, it knew my .Mac info, you know, because you have to have .Mac for a lot of this stuff.
Right.
Not all of it. And it said publishing. I'm like, okay, well, maybe it's going to do something really cool with my existing homepage, just like add it and like destroy it.
Like a little link to it.
I was
kind of
nervous. And then, and then I clicked, you know, go to, and it's like a new page with just that photo album I published. And I'm like, all right, you know, it knows I have .Mac. It knows who I am and where to put stuff. Why did it put it in a different place? And actually, I looked up, there was a help message within a, and I'll look it up by while, you know, we get some maybe more positive comments. But that was a bummer for me because I have a lot of stuff on the prior version of iPhoto that I have using homepage, and now it seems they broke that, though they suggest, you know, all right, on your homepage, tell people to go to this new place. But
yeah.
So not very...
That's weird.
Very on Apple because it's kind of like they broke the old thing and say point to the new thing. So now they may fix that because they've you know, fixed a few things like the... mini store and stuff like that. They'll so that one just surprised me because it was the first thing and the thing I do most, you know, with other than, you know, uploading photos for like when we were at Macworld. That's the other thing,
right,
which I love iPhoto for. So it can only get better from here.
I hope so. So
that's the one thing that bothered me, Lisa.
All right, well, you know, if there's only one thing, that's not so bad. I actually love iPhoto, but I don't do any uploading with it. I use Photo Access or Photo Works or something like that, and then just do a link there from my blog. So I haven't had that problem. Have you used the full screen editing at all? That's something that I just love. I think that's pretty awesome.
Tell us a little bit about it so that the folks out there that don't yet have iLife 06 can...
Basically, what it does is you can click a little button and it'll bring your picture up to fill up your whole screen. And you can do your red eye reduction or enhancements or change your effects on your picture, whatever kind of editing you want to do. And you can even do multiple pictures full screen. So if you want to take a look at two pictures or three pictures and compare them, you can see them full screen and you know, get a better view at them than you can just in the little iPhoto window.
And you're doing, Lisa's using a 1.25 gigahertz PowerBook G4 to do this stuff. How's the speed on the full screen editing and all that stuff?
I haven't had any speed issues. Scrolling through the library, I think, is a ton faster than it used to be. And I love the little see-through scroll guide that pops up now. When you're scrolling through your library, there's a little see-through guide that'll pop up with your date of your pictures as you're scrolling through the menu. So it'll go straight from, you know, May 2005 to January 2006 or whatever you're scrolling through and show you that right as you're scrolling through your library up over your pictures, which is pretty cool.
Oh, that's cool. So you kind of have an idea where you are.
Yep.
I think Picasa does that on the Windows side too, if I'm not mistaken. John, have you noticed anything about the speed on the on iPhoto? Any comments there?
Well, they always say it's got to be faster. But no, I do always like that now. Yeah, like Lisa said, if you... you know, if you scroll through, I mean, you know, I'm doing it right now and it's 60%, 80%, but I do like where it, you know, kind of gives you an idea of where you are because...
Now, are you doing that on the same machine that you're podcasting from or no?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm doing it right now on the same machine.
I was going to say, because Skype didn't cut out, so...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was kind of worried when you said that.
No, that's that's a G4 issue. No, I'm splitting it up. So,
Right.
So yeah, the speed, I don't do a lot of speed intensive things, but it does scroll and it doesn't lag. It does go up. Actually, it's going up to 100%. So, you know,
As it should.
Sit there scroll up and down all day through, you know, thousands of pictures. Yeah, I guess it would take.
You might hear your fan come on.
Now, do you have 250,000 pictures out there, John, yet? So you can test that part of it?
I have 5,000.
Really?
According to this.
How many do you have about?
I've only got about 2,000 out there now. I keep archiving stuff off. So I've got prior years just saved on DVDs and discs and multiple copies of them. So I don't have everything on my hard drive all at one time.
Mm-hmm. Now the bonuses.
The bonus?
I talk about Well, some bonuses.
You actually like parts of this, John? I thought it was, you know.
No, just... I hate it all.
Why I oughta?
No. So yeah, I started off with things I don't. There's a few other things I don't like, but no. We'll start with something I like. Is the calendars and the cards.
The calendar looks finally cool.
Oh man, I mean. For the longest time, I mean, every you know, people, you know, especially Mac people would ask us, you know, what do I use for this? It's like, I can't use iPhoto. It's like, no, you really can't. The other services, I think most of them, Lisa, you use these more than I do, but some of them have Mac clients. Otherwise, you just upload through a browser, which is kind of lame sometimes.
Yeah, it's a pain in the neck sometimes. It never seems to go up right, no matter what you use. But the calendar thing looks cool. I don't know how much you looked into it, John, but I found you can actually add your own holidays to the calendar. So, like, if you want to make grandma a calendar for her birthday, you can put, you know, grandma's birthday on there or the grandkids' birthday on there. And you can even put pictures on each individual day as well as the big picture to go with the calendar. So I thought that was kind of neat.
Mm-hmm. And the cards, because I know the other day I was at a friend's and they got a card that was a custom one, but they had a Mac, and they're like, can I do that with the I'm like, I don't think so. But now you can't. So that's another good area. Their plans for world domination seem to be moving ahead slowly but surely.
I did a test on ordering a card, and I don't know if this is standard or what, but I ordered a card about 12 days ago and just got an email today that it shipped.
That's a long time.
So, yeah, that's...
Maybe... I was wondering actually if that's only because they weren't ready to ship those cards yet, right? Because that's a new feature in iLife 06. Are there multiple size cards just so we can tell the folks that don't have iLife 06 about it?
There are two size cards now. There's a greeting card that folds over, and then there's a postcard. I think the greeting cards are 5x7s, and the postcards are 4x6.
Yeah, I wonder if maybe they weren't ready to ship those yet, and that's why. So if there's any of you out there that have iLife 06 and have been using it for these cards, I'm curious if how quickly they ship. Even a month from now, if you order a card, it'd be good to know if they're actually taking 2 weeks to ship these things all the time, or if it's just a one shot deal, kind of a ramp up.
You should send me a card, Dave.
I should.
Or I'll send you a card, or we'll send each other.
Oh, how sweet!
Oh my goodness!
But what they really need to do is
enough with the peanut gallery.
They need to do what Hallmark.com does and just address the cards and send them right to your recipients
for
you.
I don't need to see those cards. That's right. Why couldn't you just tell them to make up 50 cards and ship them to Hallmark.com and arrange with those guys to write up the addresses?
They're actually good. No, I use them too, but I still address them myself.
You got to do it. Man, it's so cool because when you address...
No, I don't trust...
No,
computers.
It's not a computer. They handwrite it. Seriously.
You can check off an option. Handwrite. I do it all the time. I do birthday cards that way.
Yep.
It's awesome.
They really handwrite. They have some poor person somewhere.
And that person has like the most beautiful, perfect handwriting. And you can pick if you want blue ink or black ink. And it's great.
See, what I want to do is have them write like a really... I'm going to send you a card, John, from Hallmark with a really strange message on it. And I'm going to make them handwrite it.
Those poor people.
Okay. So we got Photocast and iWeb and a new deal too.
Do we have anything else on your iPhoto list to talk about there, Lise?
Basically, the books. There's more options now for formatting the books and the styles on the books.
You got a photo book, right?
I did
one
a
of those,
photo
like,
book a
little
while
baby
ago.
Ones.
Yep, I've used those too. I love the little baby ones. You can only buy in 3-packs, but they're great. You know, if you go on a vacation, and I always send them as a thank you note. I'll put together a little book of the vacation and ship it to whoever we stayed with, things like that. They're pretty cool.
That's cool.
Yeah. I haven't done any books with the new iLife yet, so.
No. They have new formats of the books, though?
They have a ton of new formats now. Yeah. There's all new photo book and just all kinds of different titles. There's a baby boy book and a baby girl book and all different kinds of formats now.
Cool. So you give it two thumbs up, a thumb and a half up?
iPhoto works great for me. I know John had some problems with the web stuff, but I don't do that. So for me, I totally love iPhoto. I have no problem with it.
There you go. John, anything to add before we release our special guest here and move on?
Photocasting,
yeah.
It's cool, but it seems to be limited right now to iPhoto and Safari. Though, actually, I'm sorry, NetNewsWire?
Yeah.
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 Also understands them. But they're doing some weird stuff because a lot of RSS clients get kind of confused by the Photocast feed. But it's brand new. But, you know, if you're on a Mac or if you're using a... Yeah, actually on the PC side, it may be kind of rough.
You know, I'm going to... For a little while. Oh, yeah, but I'm sure it is, yeah. I'm gonna jump to a piece of listener feedback. Right? Did I get that right? Is it called listener feedback, John?
Jump. You said you're gonna jump to it. Jump.
Yeah. So anyway, Matt Holt wrote in actually last week with some rants and complaints about iLife 06. So I'm gonna hit the ones that actually relate to what we talked about here. So with iPhoto. I guess with iPhoto, his only concern was that it doesn't use the same image database feature that Aperture has. And, of course, his assumption is because Aperture is not yet written for Intel, because it's a pro app, right? So perhaps that's the reason. But he seems to think that the next revision would have that. And he complains that the HTML coding from iWeb is sort of messy. It's not horrible, But it's not clean HTML coding. Have you looked at any of that, John?
Not the code, though. I've also noticed that the iWeb app, for example, I took something from iPhoto,
yep,
put it on the news site, and then when I tried to integrate that with a blog,
yeah,
it wouldn't let me drag one to the other. So it doesn't yet understand how to combine project types. So that I noticed, because I would expect, again, as a Apple thing, that I could drag a photo library, or you know, a Photocast,
right,
to the same place, and it just had a little, you know, no sign.
Yeah.
So that was, but you know, that's something for the future. But so it needs work.
He also complains.
Not bad for a good start. Yeah. Well, just for you know, an initial thing. Yeah. If you're starting from scratch, so I guess a lot of my complaints about some of these things is because I have a lot of legacy stuff.
Right.
So that population may not be too happy, but if you're starting from scratch, sure.
And I'd read something online that talks about something he mentions here, where he says that there's an error where it can't, the media browser, the thing that lets you pull in different, I guess iWeb and GarageBand let you pull in things from all the other apps and via their media browser. And he says that there's an issue where video files sometimes don't appear in this media browser, and it's video files that were there prior to the iTunes 6.02 update, I believe, and I'm pulling that from memory. Something I read, I think, on either MacFixit or macOS 10 Hints. So the solution is you have to copy all the stuff out of your video library, delete it from your video library in iTunes, and then bring it back in, and then that solves the issue. So, yeah. Well, we got to get geeky every now and then. So,
got it.
Are we done with iLife?
I think so. I think it's getting a little too geeky for me.
I wife. That's right. There you go. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
And we'll mute the mic here and send Lisa on her way. So we'll see how that goes. Let us know what you thought about that. Lisa, of course, was very hesitant to do this because she hears all these other podcasts when people bring their wives on to talk about things, and it turns out horrible. So that was her main hesitation. Of course, she actually has real radio experience. I didn't have a pop filter in front of her mic tonight, so there were a couple of issues with that. Mm-hmm. But she actually used to do actual real radio back in her college days. In fact, she's the only one in the house with a college degree, and it's actually a journalism degree. So there you go.
Go figure.
Which
we heard from them
at the beginning. We'll hear from them again at the end. So,
but that was a question. We'll remember.
Yes,
there's a prize.
Yes, is there a prize? I have prizes. Well,
there was a contest.
Yes, right? There was a contest.
Remember?
Right. I do. No, I don't remember. I I ran. I ran away from that. Okay. No, I have a CD to send to someone who figured out the band name. But I wasn't nearly as clever as I thought, because I had published the band name to every single page of the Geek Gap thing, the credits there. So it didn't take very long. Yeah. But anyway, so I want to talk about Yojimbo, because it's one of, I've been trying all week to figure out how to talk about this, because I think it's one of the coolest apps I've ever used in my life, but I'm not sure how to describe it. Essentially, what Yojimbo is, and you really do need to go to barebones.com and check it out, and check out the tour. They have a product tour. I'll put the link in the show notes. And And what it is it's an information organizer for everything else. And by that, I mean, we have information organizers for our email, right? Our email client does that. We have information organizers for our photos, like we just talked about. We have information organizers for our music, our calendar, you know, all that stuff. Well, I don't know about you, John, but I used to, and I actually used another piece of bare-bones software called BBEdit. I used to have a list of about 25 different text files I'd leave on in a folder on my desktop, and it was just things going on and notes that I needed to keep about stuff that was happening, but didn't really fit anywhere else. And I you know, the same sort of thing that you might keep on a whiteboard or you know, I know a lot of people wind up using stickies all over their desktop, right? Do you do anything like that? You're not nearly as ADD as I am, John. But
I put it in a electronic form, and then I have a palm.
Yep.
So a lot of these items here, I use my palm.
Okay.
For you know, the contacts and stuff like that. But that's, I don't know. I just, when I got one, and I thought, you know, before I got it, I thought people who have this are nuts. And then I really, and you have one to an extent.
Oh yeah.
Too.
Well, so, yeah, with the Trio.
So I use that for a lot of my off computer note keeping. But I can definitely see, looking at the description of this. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that just doesn't.
Yeah, it doesn't fit anywhere else. And so I started, and this thing's only been out a week, and I actually started using it a couple of hours before we recorded the last week's podcast, and I already was totally hooked and hadn't even figured out half of it yet, but just didn't even know where to begin. So the idea is you just have a library of things, and the things can be a note, a simple text document, a bookmark, a password, a serial number, a web archive. That's your general things. And the web archive is cool because you can actually take a web page, drag it into Yojimbo, and it renders the web page fully in Yojimbo. So you do not need to go back to the website to see it. You can see it right in there. It's kind of got a three-paned view, sort of like your modern email clients, like the you know, the Exchange or Eudora view, where you've got, you know, your list of things on the left, and then sort of a catalog on the right, and then the detail below that. And the so you have these things, and then you can flag certain items if you want to draw your attention back to a couple of specific things, and then you can create folders, which essentially become categories, and you can have the same item in multiple different categories, which is very cool. And if you edit it, obviously in one, it's just editing the copy in the library, so it, you know, whatever category you happen to see this from, it will see it. So I've got a list of current text files, and then I've also got a folder, a collection, I guess is what they call these folders, a collection of current text files, and I've also got a collection called Mac Geek Gab, and in there I throw anything that might have to do with what I want to talk about on the Geek Gab, and it's great. You can drag things right into it, and then it's also got this little tab that can sit pretty much anywhere around the edge of your screen. By default, it's in the middle of the right-hand side of your screen, and as you drag over to it, it opens up and lets you drag things into the various collections. And already I am more efficient at what I do all day because of this app. They are not paying me to talk about this, although I was actually thinking today to let the ADD run rampant that this is a perfect opportunity for someone, because this app is best described in a video cast, right? I'm doing my darndest here to tell you about this, but I know that I'm only scratching the surface at best, and really you need to see it in action in order to fully understand it. And really, this isn't a great sponsorship opportunity. What these people should do is hire someone like me or someone else to do a video demo of their product for them. And I'll mention that to not only to them, but to our ad sales department. So, no, but really, I mean,
they're right down the hall.
They're right down the hall. They're actually downstairs. I know those guys. Seriously, you know, I mean, and, you know, be upfront with the listener viewer, you know, that this is a paid thing, and then just do it. So anyway, back to the thing. And it's also got labels that I actually haven't started using yet, but I could see that working too. And I mean, it's a 1.0 product. It needs new things. It needs more features. Like just now, I'm thinking if you had labels, it would be great to be able to see all things by label, you know, and have a smart playlist or smart collection pop up just for things that are labeled that way. But mm-hmm. I love it. It's how could I forget? I almost forgot. One of the coolest features about it. Now, I use a couple of different Macs. I have a Mac in the office. I have a Mac up here in the studio, the as of yet officially unnamed studio. And then I have a Mac in the house. It syncs its entire library via .Mac. So wow. Anywhere I go, I can sync this thing. Mm-hmm. Very cool.
Nice.
Yeah, it's sweet. I really like it. It's and I know there's other apps out there that try to do this, and I've tried them and they never hooked. They never caught on with me. I know. I think DevonThink is like this on steroids. Even I think it's got more features, and maybe that's why it didn't catch me, because it seemed like I needed to learn too much to use it. Whereas this is just, it essentially takes all those junk piles that you either, you know, your virtual junk piles, and organizes them. And you can throw pictures in here. I've got, you know, pictures, and I think you could even throw a movie in here. But I have not tried that yet, but my guess is it would work. And the web, like I said, the web archive thing is very, very cool, because I can just pull it up and
like Spotlight, but a bit more focused.
Well, but it's a library, and it does have a search. I mean, you can definitely search in the, you know, spot. And I actually think the library itself, and I may be incorrect here, but the library itself is searchable via Spotlight too. So there you go. That's right. Yojimbo from Barebones.
Jimbo.
Yojimbo. Oh.
So I got some stuff on the list here. Oh man. There's just so much rant worthy material here.
Yeah, where do you want to go? GarageBand 6 questions. You know, I like audio comments. I want to explain to our listeners that we really like the audio comments. Really? We didn't get a whole lot in the last week, and nothing. I mean, there's a couple that sort of veer off the beaten path here, but maybe we can hit one anyway, right? We can hit an audio comment, can't we, John? Just to get us out of the thing. We'll talk about Tom, because this is actually a valid question.
Oh yes.
Hi John and Dave, my name is Tom Blagden. I'm a Mac user. I'm a student at a school in England, UK. Just a question about the iPod. I got a 5th generation video iPod for Christmas, and after Steve Jobs' keynote at Macworld San Francisco, a firmware update was released that... and when I hold down the menu button to turn off my backlight, instead of turning off the backlight, it goes straight to the main menu. I was just wondering if this is a bug in the firmware update, if it's just me, or if it's actually intentional. I was wondering if anybody else has had the same problem. It's not an urgent thing. You know, just something out of interest. Enjoying the show. Yeah, keep going with it. Okay, thanks, bye.
So I'm first very worried that someone was climbing over Tom's back while he was recording that comment, and so I hope for your sake, Tom, that everything's okay. I'm not sure exactly what all that noise was, but the question was valid, and actually he's right. I actually did the update today. I don't know why I hadn't done it on the video iPod here yet. But I apparently was lagging behind. But I did the update, and sure enough, it definitely disables that particular functionality where you hold down the menu button and the backlight turns on or off. However, there's now a relatively new, I don't know if it's brand new, but there's a relatively new option. If you go to settings and go to... on the iPod, go to settings and go to main menu, you can turn on a option called backlight. And what that does is it simply puts an option called backlight on your main menu. When you choose it, it turns the backlight on or off. And that's it. It doesn't, there's no settings option. If you want to control how long it stays on or anything like that, you go into the actual settings, but this simply turns it on or off. So you're one more click away than you used to be. But at least it's an option. So there you go. That's everything all right there, John? You don't have anybody climbing over you, do you?
No.
Okay, good. I always wonder what's happening when I hear things in the background of these audio comments. But
as you should,
as I should. Hey, there was an email here from Sam Arnold. You know, that's very relevant, and so I will read it.
Photo.
I will read it, and then we can answer it together. Mm-hmm. Hello, it's Sam Arnold again. A while ago, I switched over from another computer to my iBook. I copied my iPhoto library over manually. I didn't know about the migration system. Oh, gotta use the migration system. And now I have a ton of pictures that don't have the correct thumbnails. I'm using OS 10.4.3 and iPhoto 5.04. When I'm scrolling through my images, many of them look like they're another image, but when I stop scrolling, suddenly they turn into the image that they actually are. I could go through and export them all and was wondering if you have any ideas. I do have an idea. Do you know the idea, John?
No.
You don't know the answer? All right. Hang on. Let me go to
your answer, but I. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm going to go to Yojimbo because I actually found the webpage and saved it in Yojimbo here, and I will put a link to the actual webpage in the show notes. But you can. It sounds like Sam needs a rebuild of the iPhoto library, which in iPhoto 4 or later, you quit iPhoto. And then when you reopen iPhoto, hold down the command and option keys before you double click iPhoto to open it. And then that will prompt you if you want to rebuild the library. Say yes, and away it will go. As always, what do we do before we do anything like this, John?
Back up.
There you go.
Everything. Archive it. At least archive it. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you can do that now. I had a few places I want to go. Security. We'll save that for later. Oh, no, I'm sorry. You send it.
You send it.
About that?
We've talked about it before.
It's on the list.
Michael, and the only reason I put it on here was because I've been using it as a means to get the AAC files that Michael, a.k.a. Computer Nap, so graciously does for us to convert the podcast into the enhanced format. And have you used YouSendIt, John?
Yes.
It rocks.
That's why I mentioned
tell them about
security.
It. Yeah. Tell them what it is.
No.
No, they like to know what it is before we start ranting about it.
So basically it's a service where, so say I have a big WAMPN file and I don't want to set up FTP, I don't want to set up Apple Talk, or I can't, and emailing is too big, what happens is basically, and I would assume through a HTTP tunnel, you sign up with YouSendIt, YouSendIt.com. Then you upload the file through your browser to them, and then an email goes to another person where they can download it. So
yeah,
it's kind of a temporary server. If your mail server or some server doesn't want to deal with it, these guys, they'll do it for you.
It's pretty cool.
And therein is my only minor concern, is you don't want to put stuff on there that is like national security.
Right.
Because even though they have a, you know, privacy policy, it looks good, you know, looks like, you know, I don't think they're evil, but if it's kind of hanging out there, I mean, you know.
Oh, if somebody has the link to it, they can download it. I think that's pretty much it. Yeah.
I mean, I think you can, I didn't look in detail. I mean, that there may be a way to password or something, but, you know, you may want to, I mean, there are things now, not that much on the Mac at this point, but like, you know, pkzip and things like that let you at least password a file. But
oh, that's a good idea.
I didn't find anything built into OS X. I mean, there was PGP for a while, and I believe Stuffit. If you want to do a encrypted file that you want to send, and you know, Stuffit Expander is widely available, then I think that's enough. But that was my only thought, is that I wouldn't trust a server outside of my perimeter, whatever you want to call it,
to hold
a file that is interesting.
Yeah, that's right. No, I don't blame you at all. I think that's that's a very wise and valid concern. But and I think they limit, YouSendIt limits the number of times. I think it's only good for 7 days. And I think something, they say 10 downloads. Of course, that probably means it's good for about 50 before they start freaking out. But
Now, another option is your .Mac space. You know,
yep. You can password protect that.
Public and, you know, through the system preferences. Yeah, I believe. Yeah. In the .Mac preferences, you can set that. So, But no, that caught my eye in one of our random possible discussion topics.
There you go.
Do we have another random?
Oh my, we have a lot of random. Hey, did you, speaking of random, I'm going to jump. I'm going to do it. I'm taking control.
Your turn.
Clone X2. We talked about making boot CDs for the Mac. Did you check out this Clone X2 thing?
Sometimes.
Well, Clone X2, which I have in Yojimbo here, is
Jimbo.
It will allow you to do a whole lot of different things. You can copy one entire disk to another disk and make fully functional copies. But it will also let you create, from what I understand, and maybe I'm reading this incorrectly, but we had a listener that wrote in, and I apologize, I don't have your name in front of me, so please forgive me, that told us about Clone X and said, yeah, they've used it. It's not exactly like the old boot CD software that has yet to be updated for Tiger, but it will let you create bootable CDs or DVDs with OS X Tiger on them. And I'm looking... Oh. Here it's at I'll put a link in the show notes. It's a big long disastrous URL, so triedre.com triedre.com. yeah, so that's that. What else? We're running through the list tonight, aren't we?
I see a potential rant thing. Intel, the Intel stuff.
Yeah,
you want to talk about the Intel
stuff? Sure, we can talk about the Intel stuff.
Will Intel Switch lead to rise in OS X exploits?
Yes.
You know my feelings on this?
Well, it was, first of all, you have to remember this was an article
that
was posted at eWeek, right? Isn't that right?
Remember this, eWeek.
eWeek, okay. Folks. Yeah.
eWeek, not Security Central.
And he said, it was Paul Roberts that said this could result in a steady stream of Mac exploits in years to come. I mean, I guess his idea was that, okay, because you can compile code for only one processor, maybe it makes it easier, but it's a whole different operating system, folks. It's like, wait a minute, I'm just going to jump to this, right? This guy's an idiot, right? That's pretty much right, okay? He's a freaking idiot, because just because there's all these Windows exploits on Intel... How come there's not the exact same exploits for, say, FreeBSD, right? And how come all the Linux exploits that exist, and there are many that do, how come those don't apply to Windows? It's the same chip, after all.
Yeah. So that threw me, too. I mean, I do not have, I did some surfing on this. I mean... the processors that I'm used to typically, and there are ways around this either through the processor or software, which leads to another issue about bugs in the Intel processors allegedly, but a lot of it is not that. I mean, it takes some pretty sophisticated stuff to take advantage of the flaws in the chip.
Well, that's two different
What you were saying is, so there's flaws in the chip and there's flaws in the OS, but I would say that flaws in the OS are much more prevalent. So because Intel is running on an Intel, OS X is running on an Intel chip, which it could all along because they were doing it.
Right.
I don't see that in and of itself, because the OS X just takes a more conservative, not as much as of late, but, especially in the past, they would take a more conservative approach about, I'm not going to open up services unless they're necessary, stuff like that, where Windows tend to be on the, I want to share with the world.
Swiss cheese, which, of operating systems, yeah.
Yeah. Just so much, I think, initially they assume that you would want to share things.
That's right, a bad
assumption, I think.
Right.
Especially on open networks, with cable modems and stuff like that. You don't want the neighborhood to see your pictures. Or maybe you do, but...
I don't.
but it sounded like, as the gist of the interview was, it's moving over to the chip that Windows runs on, so now... there's going to be all sorts of extreme naughtiness. And, like you pointed out, there's operating systems other than Windows that run on Intel chips, and just because they're on the... So I don't know. If we have any microprocessor engineers out there, please...
Yeah, prove us wrong.
Tell us we're wrong.
Yeah.
Because I know there are modes in some processors that protect against, running certain types of code that, is located in a certain place. So the hardware could certainly... protect against that if the developers choose to do so. But to me, it was a lot of hype and a lot of, you know, FUD and not a lot of, but prove us wrong if you can. Otherwise, you know, I still see the Mac, though, you know, bigger share equals more attention, and it could get to the point, but I still think they have inherently better practices also. Like, you know, what happens before you want to install something, Dave?
Yeah. It's crazy.
Before I install something, it's like, dude, you know, can I have this password, please?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, sure.
Windows is better on that, yeah. But I still think Windows, it's a lot easier, especially through email, for somebody to come, you know, stumble across something that they won't understand the impact of.
Yep. Yeah.
So,
where are we?
It doesn't where are you at?
Get it. I wanted to talk about this thing. I've had this thing on, we're just jumping here, folks. And we like this. We like the jumping.
I like jumping.
Feeds the ADD, which is sitting down tonight. I need to feed because I can't move. There is a theft protection for your laptop now. Mm-hmm. A new piece of software. I guess it's software. Yeah, it's called Undercover, and it's from Orbicule.com. And of course, there will be a link in the show notes. And no, they aren't paying us to talk about this. I just think it's the coolest thing. It is, like I said, a piece of software that you run on your Mac. And what it does is, first, it starts pinging back to their server with the location of the internet location of your Mac, right? So the IP address. It also transmits screenshots pretty regularly, enabling you to see. Well, the hope is that you'll see, you know, someone using your Mac will reveal something personal about themselves, and that will then lead to, you know, you being able to figure out where they are and who they are. And so that's one thing. Now, the second thing that it does is it starts to simulate a hardware failure and gradually makes the Mac screen unusable. yeah, the erratic behavior will start, and then finally you'll get what appears to be an OS 10 error message on the screen stating that a hardware system failure has been detected and that you should bring it to an authorized Apple reseller. At that point, when it gets to the reseller, it just shows a full screen message alerting the reseller that the Mac's been stolen and that it's become unusable, and then it gives you the owner's contact information and all that stuff. So, and it's $30. I mean, you know, I actually haven't gotten a copy yet, and now that I'm saying this, I don't know why everybody should run this, assuming that it doesn't do this when you're using your own Mac.
That's nice. Oh,
I think it's pretty cool
product. We'll have to look it up, but there was another one. I've seen them at the shows where it's similar. I don't think it goes through quite the I love the social engineering part.
Yeah, right. It's exactly it.
You guilty person, bring this back to the dealer.
Yeah.
So we can get you on cam. Oh, that's great.
Isn't that great?
That's great. I love that extra added thing. Because there are products, that'll phone home. Which, right. But I think that there was but this adds a nice twist.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
I think so.
How's
the band? What's that?
How's the band?
The band's good. Oh, wow. We're at 43 minutes. Oh, hey, we're going to go a little longer tonight. Well, this week, a box arrived, as often does here at TMO Towers, with a new product that actually, as far as I know, isn't out yet, because I went to the webpage on the box and it came up with a, you know, under construction thing. So I'm not going to say
about this.
I'm going to talk about it, but I don't know if I can say the name of the product. There's actually a rumor here that they may actually even be sponsoring the Geek Gab later in February. I don't know, and I'm going to talk about it anyway, because it was a box of speakers, and they're these white cubes. Well, not quite cubes. They're about 8 inches tall, with a tweeter and a horn in it, and they're just regular speakers. They're not USB speakers or anything, and they sound amazing. They look like, you know, little studio monitors, really. And have, you know, from what I can tell, I have no specs on these, nothing. And I specifically didn't contact the company first because I just wanted to talk about these. But they've got, obviously, you know, self-powered speakers, getting the mini 1/8 signal from your Mac. They're white. They look great on the desk with the Mac. And they sound amazing with no EQ from iTunes, just the straight signal out. These things will rock your house. I'm in a soundproofed, well, a mostly soundproofed room, as we pointed out last time. And I cranked these things up, and I could hear them outside the door a little bit. I mean, they they're clear. They look good. I have no idea how much they cost, so I could be, you know, talking about something that's that's out of most people's price range. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But these things are awesome. And the cool thing is they've got all the inputs that you need on the back, you know, your mini eighth and then, you know, it runs over to the other speaker. Mm-hmm. It's got a volume knob on it. And I haven't even come close to maxing out the volume knob on the amp in this thing. And then it's got on the top of it, it's got another mini eighth input and a USB output so that you can charge your iPod while it's plugged into this thing. And you can just power these things. You don't even need a computer. You just plug your iPod in and you're good to go. Pretty cool. So
I think you got to send it to me.
Yeah, they're set up here in the studio and they're looking pretty good, man. So I don't think they're leaving anytime soon. You know what I mean?
I think we're done.
Wow, that's louder than it should have been. Yep. Sorry about that.
It came in.
I was so excited about the speakers, I didn't grab the fader here. So,
Right.
Hey, so I fixed the Skype voicemail box today. Sorry about that. I didn't realize that
it was broken.
Yeah, I didn't realize that I had that they wouldn't just keep auto billing us for it. I signed up for 3 months and thought that they would just keep doing that, and they didn't. So now I've signed up for 12 months. So Skype to Mac Geek Gab, and we will get your messages. I've actually made it part of my routine to pull stuff out of Skype as on a weekly basis. Right. Yeah. So, and thank you for sending us. And again, I don't have your name right in front of me, and we're trying to wrap things up. Someone sent us a series of, why can't I find them here? Mm-hmm. Newsvine invites. So both John and I have Newsvine invites, and we will happily share them with you. Newsvine is an interesting little service. We'll talk about it next time. But if you're interested, we have a limited quantity of Newsvine invites that we can share. So John and I will happily share as we can. And I think that's it. Boy, I got a lot of stuff all over the place. I got to stand up when I do this. I got to do something.
Audio.
Different.
We got the audio comments.
Yeah.
Whatever format. You know, we got a number.
206-666. Geek.
Geek. Good one. Website, MacGeekGab.com.
Or MacObserver.com/podcast. Audio comments to MacGeekGab at MacObserver.com. Thanks for listening, folks. Let us know what you think. Send in some audio comments. Stay subscribed.
Stay subscribed.